The hashtag MeToo started flooding social media following the news about Harvey Weinstein. But the campaign has extended beyond women in Hollywood, inspiring millions of people to speak out about their experiences with sexual harassment and assault. In our ongoing series about campus sexual misconduct, education reporter Tennessee Watson takes a look at what happens when students come forward at the University of Wyoming.
Halloween is a holiday Sarah Jackson Weber wishes she could forget. In 2015, Weber was a freshman looking forward to 4 years as a kinesiology major and a future in medicine. But that all shifted, Weber says, when she was assaulted following a Halloween party.
I kind of knew what I wanted to do before, and now I'm kind of unsure as to what career path to take. But I just chose the degree that would get me out the fastest.
Weber's right to pursue an education is protected by a federal guideline called Title IX. If sexual harassment or violence interferes with a student's ability to learn, schools are expected to intervene. But Weber doesn't feel the University of Wyoming met its obligation to support her. She says she spent the day following the assault alone in her room, feeling in shock.
I was just sitting there being like, oh, it was fine, and trying to say, oh, he would never like purposefully hurt me like that. And it was probably just a big misunderstanding, and I'm probably just blowing things out of the water.
But the bruises on her legs and her ripped underwear and tights made the reality of what happened hard to ignore. She texted him, hoping he'd listen and acknowledge the harm he'd done.
And he just like lashed out and replied with stuff like, it was your fault, you wanted it. And that's why I decided to report, because it was obvious that he felt no remorse.
Given the fact that we've heard from droves of women over the last few weeks who waited years to come forward about sexual abuse, it would seem that Weber acted impressively fast. Less than 2 weeks after the assault, she went to see Megan Selheim at Stop Violence, the office on campus that supports sexual assault survivors.
And she strongly encouraged me to report to the university instead of reporting to the Laramie police, so I took her advice.
Weber made a report to the Dean of Students' office, but she says Sean Blackburn, who was the Dean of Students at the time, and Assistant Dean Nicole Courtney, made her feel like an inconvenience.
I just felt like they didn't want to have to deal with it, like they were kind of brushing it under the rug and putting it off.
Weber says after the initial interviews in November and December, she stopped hearing from the Dean of Students' office. Finally, on February 26th, she heard from Dean Blackburn again.
And that's because my parents didn't complain about how long it was taking until February 8th.
I reached out to Blackburn, who is now the vice president of student affairs, to ask about those gaps in communication. He told me he can't speak to specifics on individual cases. One of Weber's biggest complaints is with the report she received from the Dean of Students at the conclusion of the investigation. We flipped through it together. The document lays out testimony from Weber, the accused, and 5 witnesses, only one of whom was actually at the party where the incident occurred. Weber reads me the conclusion.
Based on a preponderance of the evidence, there is no violation of UW Regulation 1-256, policies and procedures governing sexual misconduct.
In other words, Nicole Courtney, the investigator, didn't find enough evidence to say with certainty what happened. And Weber feels like that sent the message that what happened was okay.
So that's obviously hard to read.
And there was no warning that the summary contained disrespectful and degrading material, according to Weber. She reads me a statement from one of the witnesses, relaying a comment made by the perpetrator.
If Sarah was to wear a slut outfit, he would have to make a move.
But what really floored Weber was the unprofessional nature of the document composed by Nicole Courtney.
That is not how you spell that kid's name, and she spells my name wrong a bunch of times. And I just think that that's another way of showing, like, lack of care, is that they just kind of threw it all together.
Sometimes her name is misspelled within the same paragraph. Quotes in the report are also confusing because it's unclear who is saying them. But even when investigations go well, it's still a hard process.
There were things that I didn't love about it, obviously. I was so sick of it, and I felt like it really was a long time. But I got that closure.
That's Emily Alexander, who we spoke to in a previous story on sexual assault prevention. When her perpetrator was finally expelled, she says feeling like UW had her back renewed her sense of safety and self-confidence.
And I wish everyone could have that, like, relief, because I know it's not like that for most people that I've heard their situation.
Megan Selheim from Stop Violence says it's important what students are saying to each other about these cases.
A survivor might talk to their roommate and say, this thing happened to me last week and I don't know what to do. And that roommate can either say, oh my gosh, the same thing happened to a friend of mine last year. They told the school and the school took care of them. Or that roommate can say, oh my gosh, the same thing happened to a friend of mine last year. They told the school and it was terrible.
Selheim says the more consistent and supportive the process, the more likely survivors are to report. But going by Alexander and Weber's perceptions, the university isn't consistent. But what do the numbers say? Over a month ago, I asked Sean Blackburn for data on how many reports lead to investigations, how many result in hearings, and how many end up in violations.
So here's what I got for you.
In 2014, there were 13 reports of sexual misconduct resulting in 4 violations. Every year since then, reports have gone up, jumping to 77, but there were still just 4 violations. And the more nuanced data, like how many victims decided not to pursue an investigation, or how many times the dean of students' office said there was not enough evidence, will take more time to pull together, Blackburn says.
There's a ton more data that we will continue to need to work on that'll help us make decisions about how we move forward.
But Weber, who is now a math major, doesn't need to see the numbers. What she's lived through is evidence enough that the process needs improvements. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Tennessee Watson.